So, Dr. Gandhi, this may not be typical of everyone in the Washington area, but in only a few days this week, I have seen the mask rules lifted at my workplace, the WTOP newsroom, and the condominium building where I live. And I'm noticing fewer and fewer masked faces out and about. Many people have been dreaming of this, of course, but we may also wonder how we so suddenly are dropping most or all of our rules. Do the numbers back all of this up?
You know, the numbers really do back this up. I think what ended up happening is the CDC did put out this new guidance kind of abruptly, to be honest. And it shocked a lot of people. And some places are some people and places are trying to get used to it. But essentially, their science was extremely sound. What did they say? They just said, essentially, that the vaccines are so effective that they're actually more effective than they were in the clinical trials. So clinical trials, I call that so December 2020, that information, because now we have information over the last 4 months that shows how incredibly effective these vaccines are in the real world. A study, for example, among healthcare workers, there was 98% effective. A study from the CDC that showed 95% effective, and a study from Qatar last week, just a couple of weeks ago, that even despite variants, the vaccines are still 98% effective. They also put together data on how rare breakthrough infections are in this country among the 115 million Americans fully vaccinated. They're so rare that essentially only 1 in 1 million people have become very sick from COVID after being vaccinated. So it's 1 in 1 million as opposed to what happened, of course, prior to vaccinations. And then finally, they really talk to us about how vaccines block transmission. You, as a vaccinated person, it is almost impossible for you to transmit to someone because your rate of even having it in your nose, even if you feel well, goes down, so-called asymptomatic infection. So they put together all that data and they message that vaccinated people don't have to wear masks. And it's going to take a little while to get used to, but it's based in the science and you really don't have to wear masks.
You've written an opinion piece here. The headline is "The Science is Clear. Masks Worked." Worked in the past tense, but vaccinated people don't need them now. That line makes it quite clear.
Yes, exactly. Actually, the reason I wanted to write that piece is to explain that I actually wrote 7 or so papers on the benefit of masking for COVID-19 in the past and helped contribute to the CDC guidelines on why masking was important. I also am, just like the CDC, very interested in updating recommendations once you've had the ultimate protection of a vaccine. You know, a mask is a protection prior to that, and the vaccine blows everything else out of the water. And so it really is important to update our guidance, to give people hope, to, you know, the part of the reason the CDC did this is, hey, if you're on the fence about getting a vaccine, you know, no more masking if you're in spaces. So it really was also trying to motivate vaccination. And it's the truth. It's just sound science.
If you feel more comfortable keeping your mask on in public settings, at the very least, are you going to be better protected from, say, catching a cold or even the flu when flu season comes back around?
Yes. So I do think that the reason we had such low influenza rates this year is because masks absolutely prevent you from getting respiratory infections. The same is true of colds. So if someone wants to keep their mask on and do it in the wintertime, that's very culturally appropriate in many places. In East Asia, for example, after they had gone through SARS in 2003. And everyone should just sort of decide for themselves if they want to wear a mask. I actually personally think we need to stay home when we're sick, which is what we don't do. We all go out and we're coughing on everyone before this happened. I don't think anyone's ever going to go out and be at work when they're sick again. And I think that will actually massively cut down on influenza numbers. And if you feel more comfortable wearing a mask, go ahead.
We've got children 12 and older being vaccinated now, as you well know. How should we handle things in mixed vaccinated households?
So what the reason the CDC guidance was so important is that it actually released us from feeling worried about mixed vaccinated households, because if you as a vaccinated person cannot transmit to someone else, then younger children who can't get vaccinated yet can be in mixed company with older vaccinated adults, and they are not going to certainly get COVID from the vaccinated adults. And then they themselves as children are less likely to spread and also have are much, much, especially under 12, are not at risk for severe disease like adults are. And so you can feel quite safe in the summertime having some more of those mixed gatherings while we're waiting for the pediatric trials in younger kids.
What does the latest research show about how long the COVID vaccines last? And is there a distinction between Pfizer and Moderna, which have one kind of technology, and Johnson & Johnson, which uses another?
You know, this is a great question. So I have been writing about what I think is going to be the durability of immunity. I have a paper coming out on Monday on this. But if you look at essentially the production of what are called memory B cells and memory T cells. What these vaccines do is they create cells that go into your bank, so to speak. They go into your lymph nodes. They go and hide out there. They're called memory B and memory T cells. And if you're ever needed again, they come out and produce antibodies and protective forces against the virus. Memory B cells and T cells can last a lifetime. We have good evidence that other vaccines that produce memory B cells last a lifetime. So I actually don't think we're going to need boosters. And I would, you know, warn us that pharmaceutical companies aren't going to make those decisions. It's just going to be the science. And really, I think these are going to last a long time. And Johnson & Johnson actually is what is called one step upstream from mRNA vaccines. What that means is that it's a DNA molecule that produces the spike protein, and then it goes to mRNA. You actually make mRNA in your body. So there's no reason to think that they would be different in terms of their longevity than mRNA vaccines.
You talked about younger kids briefly, if I could get back to that. What are your back-to-school thoughts, and paired with it, the notion of whether kids younger than 12 need to be vaccinated?
When we look at places vaccinating faster than we, and there's only a couple of places now, we're doing very well in terms of our vaccination rates, but the places that are doing fast, going faster are Israel and the United Kingdom. They did not need children to be vaccinated to get the case rates extremely low. Essentially, what happened in those countries is the concept of herd immunity, that adults, if they're vaccinated, protect the kids who are not vaccinated because the virus is running around and can't find anyone to infect, and the case rates go extremely low. And so I think what will happen by the fall is the CDC will likely have a metric of if the case rates or the hospitalization rates from COVID are very low in your area, children can go back to school full time without interventions like mass and distancing. And do I think that they're going to need to be vaccinated for us to conquer COVID? I don't actually, given the epidemiology that we see out of these other countries. And it is going to take a while for the under 12s to get studied, but I think we're still going to be normal in the fall.
What have I forgotten to ask about? A final thought you'd leave us with today?
You know, the one thing I want to say is the CDC is a very cautious organization, right? None of us would be eating sushi, or we'd be having all sorts of airbags and seatbelts. And, you know, it is a cautious organization. That's actually the goal of a public health organization. So when they put together science, when they put together the recommendations and saying that you're protected as a vaccinated person and you don't need the masks and the other interventions, do believe their science.